a spacecraft. An unmanned probe, Stoner saw. Uncrewed, Joe's voice sounded in his mind. With a sheepish grin, Stoner corrected himself. Uncrewed. Stavanger was solidly built, with skin just a shade darker than a deeply suntanned Caucasian's. Wearing a comfortable velour pullover and shapeless denims, he appeared to be no more than 30, despite his real age. A soft tone told him that someone was calling on his private line. Brows knitting with mild annoyance, Stavanger thought briefly about ignoring the interruption and letting the caller leave a message. But curiosity got the better of him, as it usually did. Who'd be calling on my private line, he wondered. It might be important. Close display, he said, and the holographic image dissolved. Answer phone. Keith Stoner's strong features took shape, his beard dark, his eyes somber, a solid three-dimensional bust hanging in the air above Stavanger's desk. The Starman, Stavanger gasped. You recognize me, said Stoner. I saw your original message, the one you transmitted to our Far Side Observatory. With a slight shake of his head, Stoner said, You never answered my message. Stavanger pushed himself up from his desk chair and went to the sofa, past a wall screen displaying a real-time view of the crater floor outside, with a fat crescent of Earth hanging in the dark sky above it. We passed it on to the United Nations Scientific Council in New York. Our board decided to act in concert with Earth on this. Then he added, But some of our younger astronomers are chapping at the bit, really giving the council a hard time. They want to answer your message and see what happens. Good for them. It's hard to keep them in check, you know, Stavanger said almost ruefully. Stoner's image turned to keep facing Stavanger. But on Earth, they've decided to stick their heads in the sand and ignore it. Settling himself slowly on the sofa, Stavanger replied, I'm not surprised. That's their first reaction to anything new or troubling. Ignore it and hope it goes away. Stoner smiled minimally. Actually, the new morality is investigating my message. They'd like to believe it's a hoax. Stavanger puffed out a mild grunt. I bet they would. And the others? The Islamic League, the Europeans, the Asians? I haven't contacted them directly. Not yet. I'm an American, after all. I went to my own first. I've asked the Governing Council here in Salini to prod them, Stavanger went on, but so far I haven't seen any movement on their part. As I said, their first assumption is that my message is a hoax, said Stoner. I've had to convince them otherwise. It's shaken some of them rather badly. I can imagine. But what about the imagery of your spacecraft when it entered the solar system? They think that's a hoax as well? That's from 22 years ago. They weren't sure it was connected to my message. But it is, and you're real. The enormity of it began to sink into Stavanger, emotionally. Suddenly he thought to ask, Where are you now? On the moon? In Salini? Among other places. What? I could join you in your living room, if you like. You mean right now? Right now. And Stoner appeared in the room, standing by the desk. Stavanger rocked back on the sofa slightly, his eyes staring. Stoner recognized the struggle going on inside the man. It's a lot to accept, he realized, but he's handling it much better than most of the others. Stavanger puffed out a breath, then grinned. You don't have to knock, do you? Stoner stepped to the slingback chair next to the sofa and sat down. Your body is teeming with nanomachines. How? Can you see inside me? With a shrug, Stoner said, It's true, isn't it? Yes, that's true. They've saved my life more than once. They keep me youthful and healthy. But you can never return to Earth. They've banned nanotechnology in all its forms everywhere on Earth. Salini is my home, Stavanger said tightly. I see. You see quite a bit. You really are a star traveler, aren't you? Yes. Can you accept that? Stavanger leaned forward slightly, hands flat on his knees, as he asked, Are you really human? Or are you an alien in human disguise? A machine, maybe, or a biological construct? What do they call it, an android? I was born on Earth, said Stoner. And? Stoner smiled at him. You're a lot more flexible mentally than most of the others. You're a lot better balanced emotionally, too. With a spread of his hands, Stavanger replied, I've lived a long time and I've seen a lot. You're not frightened of a star voyager. Look, let's stop fencing around. Our research shows that a Dr. Keith Stoner died in an auto wreck in your year 1985, I know. So how do you account for yourself? In the world I was born to, I left Earth in that same 1985 in a starship that we built from information we learned from a visiting alien vessel. The extraterrestrial's ship was a sarcophagus. The alien inside it was dead. A mummy? Right. He sent his remains on a journey to the stars in an automated ship programmed to seek out the signatures of intelligent life. He wanted to show any civilization that the ship ran across that the universe isn't lifeless, isn't without intelligence. Stoner heard Joe warning, You're not telling him the whole truth. Not yet, he replied silently. It's too soon. He's taken everything well enough so far, but I don't want to push him too fast. Stavanger was saying, So you used the aliens' technology to go off to the stars yourself? Myself, my wife, and my two children. But our records show that you died in 1985. There wasn't any starship. You were married, but you'd been divorced. That's your world line, Stoner said. Mine was different. Shaking his head, Stavanger said, I don't understand. Neither do I, not completely. Apparently, when you travel close to the speed of light, everything changes. There's more than one universe, and somehow they interconnect. Some of them are very similar to one another. Others... The brain theory, Stavanger muttered. The idea that there are multiple universes that exist in other dimensions. Stoner nodded. It's not exactly correct, but they're on the right track. So, when you traveled among the stars at nearly the speed of light, you left your universe and entered ours. We thought we were coming back to our own world line, the Earth that we'd left in 1985. But it's different. Different in some ways. Very similar in others. Why did you return? Stoner hesitated, his face clouding darkly. It's about the war that's brewing down there, isn't it? Stavanger asked. You know about it? We have our intelligence sources. Stoner said nothing. You came back to warn them against starting a nuclear war? No, said Stoner. But then he corrected himself. Yes, in a way. But there's more to it than that. Chapter 10 Stavanger looked at him disbelievingly. More to it? What more can there be to the threat of a global nuclear war? They're going to destroy themselves. And you, very possibly, Stoner added bleakly. Don't you think I know that? Stavanger snapped, almost snarling. Then what are you doing about it? Stavanger shook his head. What can we do? We can't ram peace down their throats. There's more than 12 billion people on Earth. The planet's bursting at its seams. They're devouring their resources so furiously that they'll start dying off from starvation and disease even without a war. Once I thought that opening up the space frontier would add enormous new resources of raw materials and energy for Earth, Stoner said. Only if they control their population growth. Stavanger countered heatedly. All they've done by importing resources from space is to allow their population to boom faster, bigger. Stoner saw the agitation on his face, the bitterness in his tone. So now they blame us for their troubles, Stavanger went on. They claim that corporations like Humphrey's Space Systems and Astro have ruined the metal markets on Earth. They're talking about an embargo on imports from space, a move that could wipe out the rock rats out in the asteroid belt and even hurt Selene economically. But they use the power satellites, Stoner said. They couldn't get along without them. Bobbing his head in agreement, Stavanger replied, Sure, they need the power satellites, but they don't want to let any of their people emigrate from Earth, and they've cut travel from anywhere off Earth back to home almost down to zero. They don't want to have any contact with us. They're frightened of people who've been off Earth, Stoner said. They're afraid that people who've lived in different worlds will contaminate them with new ideas. And show the flaws in their own societies, Stavanger added. So they close their doors to you. And their minds. And their situation grows more desperate each year, Stoner muttered. It's worse than that.